Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. Well, today I'm really delighted to be speaking on the phone with Dorinda Zox. She is the author of a recently published book titled Five Steps to Draw Closer to God. It's a book designed for people that want to draw closer to God while building a relationship with Him. Stay tuned because we're going to have a real lively discussion with Dorinda about things like who is God and the difference between spirituality and religion. But before we chat with Dorinda, I'd like you to know a little bit about her. Dorinda Zox was born and resides in New York. With an interest in writing since childhood, Dorinda has always concentrated her writing on fiction. It was not until she became a born-again Christian she developed a passion for writing about Christianity and seeing how others grow spiritually. With this passion, she hopes to increase the kingdom of God through her writing. A big advocate of keeping it simple, Dorinda brings to you five steps to draw closer to God. She also maintains the Thoughts of Life blog, providing encouragement for everyday life. Her educational background includes a BA in criminal justice and a master's degree in forensic psychology. Hi, Dorinda.
Hi, Irene.
Well, this is going to be a great conversation that we're going to have today. It's one of my favorite topics, and I know that our listening audience are also going to enjoy this, too. First of all, before we go any further, Dorinda, I'd like you to just give us sort of a short overview of your book, Five Steps to Draw Closer to God.
The book, Five Steps to Draw Closer to God, is basically a practical book for those who desire a relationship with God. And I give five steps to help them start the process in drawing closer to God. So that's what the book is really about. It's just helping others develop that relationship they desire for.
Dorinda, is this something that you used yourself?
Yes.
Let's just talk a little bit about you and why you had that desire to have that closer relationship to God. What was going on in your life at that time?
I always went to church when I was younger, but we didn't have to do anything, participate. All we have to do is really just sit there and listen to whatever. If we get something, we get it. If we don't, it's not like nobody was coming down on you.
Oh, there was no test?
Right.
Okay.
There was no test. So I always had God in my mind, and I always, you know, I knew He was around, but I just didn't know what He was about.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And when I got older, in my 20s, I started watching a lot of pastors on television, and I just started listening, and I was starting to understand a few things, and I was like, wow, who is this God? I got to know who's this God.
Uh-huh.
And that's where the desire began, and I was like, I got to find out, you know, who is this God?
Okay.
And so...
Yeah. And so, okay, who is God?
Mm-hmm. You know, I found out he's more than a creator. He's a father.
Uh-huh.
He has been a friend, a brother, sister, husband, everything that you could imagine you think or you're lacking in life, he has been that to me.
You were referring to God as a male, and I find that interesting. And so I would like to have you give us the male concept of why God is male.
I would say because he is a spirit, but when he created Adam, which was first, he created a male,
mm-hmm.
and he said, I created him in my image.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So with that, I take that, you know, it's a male that he created first, so, and he said, that is in my image, so I'm going to assume it's a male
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
first, and then he created Eve out of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I get, you know, that male, you know,
sure.
concept.
Sure. Well, it certainly makes sense. And, you know, a lot of people have different versions of their own perception. And I was very curious as to what your perception is. So, Dorinda, you know, sometimes there's just a lot of confusion between spirituality and religion.
Mm.
And I would like to, in your own words, give me your perspective on what spirituality is and what religion is, or, you know, are they the same thing or are they two different things?
I believe they're different. Mm-hmm. I think that religion is more man-made, and, you know, spirituality is something that you're experiencing with God. It's that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Where religion is, a lot of it is, you know, based on giving titles and making rules that sometimes you don't even find in the Bible. And spirituality is just serving God and honoring God with your heart, mind, and soul. And, you know, everything about spirituality is about God.
Mm-hmm.
When I find, I mean, especially in today's society, religion is more about men.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think they're very different.
So do you personally still go to church?
I do.
And so how are you able to sort of discern the two and, you know, keep religion out of spirituality and spirituality out of religion? Or do you really do that?
You can, and I do. At the end of the day, I remember that I'm serving God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a bigger part of my life than, you know, someone who makes out of the rules they make out of religion.
Yeah.
And so that's how I see it.
Yeah, and I certainly understand what you're saying. I think that I'm not sure, but my own thoughts are that, you know, I'm not sure that religion originally was what it is today.
Right.
And so, you know, it, like you say, it's man, a lot of it is man-made and man-made rules to maybe for control.
It could be,
mm-hmm.
could be, because I don't want to say yes, because we don't ever know people's motives.
Exactly.
But it seems that somebody wants control of something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the more men get in it, the more God is being taken out of it.
Yeah, and I also noticed that the more men, and I'm talking, you know, human beings get into it, mm-hmm. is also... In some, there's a lot of fear and threats.
Yes. Yes.
And
God is not a God of fear. He's a God of love. So that's how we're able to discern spirituality from religion.
Yeah, see, that's how I feel, too. And I just get very confused when all of a sudden there's just a lot of power and control and coming into this and fear and, you know, threats and...
Yes.
So, but, you know, I guess in the end, it's really what works for me and what works for you, isn't it?
Yes. At the end, it's, you know, who are you serving?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what's going to be important. And that's a question you're going to have to ask yourself.
Exactly. And provide the answer and be okay with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So... You know, you personally had that piece missing, and so you were able to find the God that works for you. Now, give me some examples for our listening audience as to why maybe they would be looking for that relationship with God.
I would say a lot of people, especially now with the way the our world system is going, they want something more stable than, you know, their financial situation and the job market and health insurance. And here we have a God who say, I'll supply all your needs, trust in me. I mean, you're going to have to weigh your options, trust in something stable or something unstable. And then when we look at God's history, we see that he's always been able to have the victory at the end.
What's interesting, too, is all we have to do is ask. You know, and have that conversation with God and lay it out there and ask. And I think that many times from people that I've talked to, they feel it's selfish to ask.
No, not at all, because it only becomes selfish when your motives are wrong. And a lot of people, they ask God out of selfish motives because it's based on their own need.
Yeah.
Not God bless me because one day I want to bless someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Bless me and everything else, you know, you take care of it. And that's not how God sees things.
Right. Or things like, you know, if you give me this, I will do this.
Right.
And that's not how it works.
Not at all. And no. and to have a relationship, a good relationship, is two-sided.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants that relationship where we can be two-sided with him. He doesn't want us to come to him just asking and expecting, and we're never giving him anything. And what he really
yeah.
wants from us is that the honor, the love, and, you know, respect and obedience.
Exactly. And, of course, that takes commitment, too.
Yes, yes.
And, wow, you know, what... How much of a commitment are we willing to make?
Right.
It's a big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so, personally, may I ask you what your commitment looks like?
It's 100%.
Yeah,
it's 100%. And it took me years to get there because in the beginning I did not understand what I needed to do.
Oh, so
and,
tell us tell us about that understanding. This is good. Because I'm sure you weren't the only, you know, that was then, you're in a different place now, but I'm just thinking that people that are listening,
mm-hmm.
they just may not have that understanding. So tell
right.
me about that.
Well, when you go to church, you're often given, you know, the all the do's and the don'ts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now you're faced with, what should I do, Lord?
Yes.
And then sometimes some churches will make us feel so guilty of our sins. We don't even know to, you know, just repent and God forgives and move on and keep pressing forward.
Mm-hmm.
Some people stay so much on that in that guilt, and that's where I think that ununderstanding begins. Like, you know, I did something wrong and somebody made me feel bad, and I, instead of saying, God, I repent, forgive me, and they can't move on. And so that lack of understanding just bring them deeper into more confusion and more, you know, they don't know what to do at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear people say things and I'm like, that is not of God, because I had to learn to read my Bible and get that understanding and discern what is from God and what is not from God. And
so how do you do that discerning?
You got to read the Bible, because that's where the wisdom is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So that's how you feel, that you were able to read the Bible, get that wisdom through there, and then in your own mind be able to really discern.
Discern and apply it to my situation.
And so, of course, each situation is different.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm hearing also is that you have to address each situation differently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And everything is in the Bible. The instructions are there. The wisdom is there. It's not like God left us with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And all we have to do is, you know, trust him. And, you know, he said, I'll be your guide. Trust me. And he said, you know, wisdom is the principal thing. And all you're getting, get understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you go back to, you know, what don't I understand and what, how am I going to understand it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about seeking people to help me understand, but seeking the one person that's saying, I will help you.
So when you were first starting out making your commitments and realization that, you know, this is really what you need to do, did you have a support system? Did you go, you know, did somebody coach you? Or tell me about your experience.
I would say yes and no.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I had a place where I got my teachings, which would be my church.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I would say my greatest support was. And no, where the certain people that was around and was going to church longer than I was, their actions were different from what I was reading in the Bible, and that kind of drew me away.
You're funny.
Yeah. So it drew me away because I'm like, you know, I'm trying to match up what I see in the Bible to, and I'm like, this is not of God. I can't participate in this. So
yeah.
It's like there's a lot of stuff that could happen, but God is always willing to, you know, just trust me and I'll guide you and whoever I need to place in your life to minister to you, to
mm-hmm.
give you that understanding, he will do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe that. I truly do.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Dharonda Zox, author of 5 Steps to Draw Closer to God. Interesting so far, isn't it? Just by listening to Dharonda, you can see how dedicated and committed she is to God. Stay tuned because there is just so much more interesting conversation to come. Now, did you find, Dharonda, when you chose to make this change in life, because obviously this was a change in life, did you come across any opposition from family, friends?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes?
Yes.
In what way?
Well, currently my church meets on a Saturday, even though we're not 7 days Adventist.
Uh-huh.
So my Saturday nights are completely blocked off. That means no partying. I hardly go to birthday parties, even for family events.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I also volunteer at that church uh-huh. as a prayer counselor. So, you know, I'm required to be there, make that commitment to the church also. And a lot of times, you know, family members and friends don't get that. And sometimes, you know, they get angry at you because you can't go somewhere they want to go, let's say at a bar or at some kind of club or uh-huh. lounge. And my question is, are they serving some kind of beer or alcohol? Well, then I don't need to be there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, they get, you know, offended and, you know, they think you're changing, but I always tell people, if somebody's changing for the better, then you should support them.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I so agree.
Mm-hmm.
Dharonda, do you believe in miracles?
I do.
Do you believe that God creates miracles?
I do.
Yeah, yeah.
I do.
Have you had any miracles in your life?
I would say I've seen a lot of stuff that only God could have done, and I would call it a miracle, so
uh-huh,
yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, you know, and I often look at flowers, too, and think that they're miracles, because they
yes.
are, you know.
Yes.
There's just really so much out there, isn't there, that really is a miracle.
Right. The mountains. Everywhere we look, it's
yeah.
like, you know, the trees know when to bloom,
yeah.
and everything just know what to do because they're under the authority of God.
Yeah, yeah.
And if we allow our life to be the same way,
mm-hmm.
he would, you know, constantly direct us and guide us.
Now, we talked a lot about committing to God, and that is one of the steps out of the 5. Would you like to share what some of the other steps are? Where, you know, we don't have to talk about them, but what the steps actually are.
Right. You know, the other steps are seeking God first
uh-huh.
is, you know, the first step, because if you don't see God,
yeah.
you won't be able to draw closer to him.
That's right.
And I talk about, you know, trusting God
uh-huh.
and the love that you need to put, you know, bind everything together and praying. And I put a few scriptures on how to pray
because uh-huh.
I know a lot of people struggle with that. So those are the steps, and I added a bonus, a period of testing, which I'm glad you asked the question of opposition because it speaks about that.
Oh,
you
good.
Know, opposition, you know, with Satan and, you know, how he'll use people against you when you're trying to get closer to God.
Talk about Satan.
Mm-hmm.
In your words, beliefs, what is Satan?
Well, he's the opposite of God.
Okay.
You know, he represents, you know, he's a fallen angel. And he represents something that we, if we're not careful, we could become. Because he represents selfishness, pride, and just everything that God keeps telling us stay away from.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the ultimate. There's nothing good ever said about him from God. So he's the ultimate evil.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people don't think he exists, and a lot of people don't understand that he could use them for his work. And that's something that people would come to realize once they get closer to God.
So do you think that Satan is, let's see, what, how am I going to ask this? Okay, so we're talking about God, and it's like omnipresent, the an energy, a spiritual being, you know, the creator. We can put all kinds of words to this. Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk about Satan, in a negative way, does Satan have all these qualities also? Did that come across like what I'm wanting to say? What I'm saying is, I guess, the strengths that Satan has.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that if Satan comes into a person's life, there's that struggle between God and Satan within.
Right.
I would assume, is that, am I on the track that you're believing, or explain that to me?
I see what you're saying. It has, if they almost have equal powers, one good and one bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I would think so in some aspects, but at the end of the day, we know Satan lose, so he obviously don't have that much power.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I would say is that God gave us authority over him, so that shows he have even less power. So the struggle really comes between, you know, who we are going to believe and who we're going to follow.
Mm-hmm. And so if there's that struggle within, and of course, you know, if we are not sure of ourselves and our belief system in a God, and then all of a sudden the evil or the Satan comes into play, you know, there could be a lot of turmoil in the physical and the emotional and spiritual being of the person.
Yes, absolutely.
So it takes a lot of strength,
mm-hmm,
to push away Satan and go along with God.
Right, because, you know, Satan always show us what's desirable.
Mm-hmm.
But what some people don't realize is always temporary. And at the end of the day, it caused some kind of trouble in your life.
Yeah.
So it's desirable, temporary, and it caused trouble. But some people don't realize it until they go through it. And that's when they start to learn, well, wait a minute, this Satan guy is not really the guy I want to hang with.
Right, right.
Let me see what God is doing.
Uh-huh.
But God is, you know, he's always struggling, asking us to come to him before everything else happens.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a constant struggle, and we're right in the middle trying to figure out, you know, God, I'm trying to be closer to you, but here, you know, I have this desire, I have this thing, and it looks good, and
it's so false. Yeah, yeah.
It's so false.
It is false.
And it goes back to, if it looks too good to be true, then, <it's,
laughs> then it is.
Right.
That's a good one, Duranda. What about forgiveness? How important do you think forgiveness is in the process of committing to God?
Oh, it's very, very important, because Jesus said if we don't forgive our own brother, he can't forgive us.
Yeah.
So that's deep, and it cuts right in the middle. It's like it's so hard to forgive those who have done us wrong, but I always tell people, don't block your blessings. And at the end of the day, you just want to stay in that love God has for us. And even though the person might not understand, we have to respond to them with love.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we should be, you know, we might feel like we need to strangle them, but that, you know, is not of God. And unforgiveness, it blocks your blessings. It causes more stuff to happen and strife and just, it actually, I think it's a harassment to your mind, because here you can't forgive someone and it's constantly replaying in your mind, and that's harassment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's better to just let it go, forgive, and get your peace
and
of
move
mind
on.
Back.
Yes.
Get your peace of mind back. And it's not worth it, because the person sometimes don't even realize what they have done was so, you know, wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah. I just say let it go.
Yeah.
keep your peace of mind and don't block your blessings. Just let it go. Let God deal with the person. Whatever he needs to do, he'll do it.
No kidding. Surrender to God. Let's turn it over. What about forgiveness for yourself?
That's important because Satan will use guilt to keep you away from God. So sometimes we're always harder on ourselves than anybody else could be harder on us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to learn to accept God's forgiveness for whatever we have done and receive it in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no point of, you know, you can't receive all of God if you don't let go.
So it means yourself as well as others.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, just let it go. Let God work on you, and whatever that needs to be done will be done. Because it's not worth it to walk around with guilt, with shame, and condemnation. Because he said that's not what he's here for.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so we have to just learn to give it to God.
Duranda, I'd like to talk about tolerance and compassion for other people in other religions. I know that you are very Christian-based. You've been born again. And how do you feel about other religions having a God and possibly being the same God as you believe in?
Well, that's an interesting topic. I would say I have tolerance. I don't push anything on anyone.
Uh-huh.
As long as they respect my belief also and are not trying to push, you know, whatever they believe on me.
Uh-huh.
But I would say whatever God says, that's what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very interesting topic because you will have someone in your life that's not Christian. They're either Muslim or somebody else, and
or Buddhist or
a Buddhist, sure. And it's not fair to treat the person based on what they believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if a subject comes up, this is when, you know, the fight starts.
Yeah.
But I would prefer to respect whatever understanding a person has about God than to outright fight with them about, you know, what they
who's
should
right.
believe. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because
yeah.
I know God would take care of it. If God wants, you know, this person to know him,
mm-hmm.
he will find a way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I prefer to keep the peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so do you have friends that are different religions from you?
I did. Now that I think about it, I have family members that are different religion, but friends, I would say I did. Most of my friends go to my church.
To your church, sure.
Yeah.
Well, we eventually do find like-minded people, don't we, that are friends?
Yeah.
Because we are on the same page. We speak the same language. We have the same beliefs. And so, of course, we gravitate to each other. But I'm curious as how do you handle your family that has a different belief system than you do?
Sometimes we get into arguments.
Do you? Okay, Duranda, who wins?
I win because I'm able to show them scriptures.
Oh, you're funny.
But because we do have a division with, I would say our generation, the younger ones are mostly Christian and the older ones are Baptist split between Catholics.
Uh-huh.
So it's like we get into a little bit of argument on, I guess, the rules that are placed on their religion, not really on, you know, is God real or not. But I would break out my Bible in a minute and show me what you're talking about, and I'll show you what I'm
mm-hmm,
talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I win the argument.
So it sounds like maybe these discussions are more about religion than spirituality.
Yes.
And interpretations of. It was interesting that you had mentioned, you know, you're Christian, but some of your family is split between, did you say Baptist and Catholic?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm finding it interesting that you're not referring to Catholicism as being Christian.
The way they run their religion, to me, is so different.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of stuff I just can't find in the Bible.
Yeah.
And that kind of, you know, pushed me back and like, what is this? So I don't know. It's a few things I probably don't understand about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But if I can't find it in the Bible, then I don't know what it's about.
Hey, that's really fair. Very fair. So, Duranda, recently there's been a lot of young people coming into the limelight, like Tim Tebow and Colton Dixon, and it's being okay to, let's say, Tim, you know, kneel down and say a prayer before the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering how you're feeling about that.
I mean, I love it. The football players, that's their thing, to actually pray before they even play a game because,
right.
You know, their job is so dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say a prayer before you, you know, start a game. And I love it. I say go for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody should pray before they go to work. I mean, for your own sanity, if you're dealing with, you know, interesting people at your job, you should be praying.
Yeah. And not, you know, something you just said, something that's very important, not leaving God at home when you go to work.
Right, right.
And it's okay to take, you don't have to pray for 20 minutes.
Right.
You know, it could be a 30-second prayer.
Yes, yes.
And that's all that's needed, and it can be done many times during the day, so that's how important it is to bring God with you to wherever you go, not only work.
Yes.
And, you know, there was several years ago, there was sort of a big run on spirituality in the workplace,
mm-hmm.
which I found very interesting that, you know, this was allowed and encouraged, which is good because then it comes out into the open and people feel safe to be able to bring their spirituality into their workplace.
Right. I think it's fair as long as you're doing your work. And you also, you know, you could serve God. You don't have to be getting up in the middle of a meeting and start praising him. You know, because God is a God of integrity, and you still have to do your job the way you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
But you can use your, you know, spirituality on how you treat people, how you talk to people, you know, show the love of God towards others. And that right there is, you know, taking God to work.
Exactly, and being God-centered. It doesn't mean that you have to be constantly talking about God, but it's the actions.
Yeah, and laying hands on people. Because some people do take it that far.
I know. Exactly.
Like, let me pray for you right now. And they forget they're at work. It's like God is the God of order.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
right.
You have to balance it out.
Exactly. I so agree with you. And this has been just a really good conversation, Duranda. I love it. Tell our listening audience your website address.
It's DurandaJacques.com, and DurandaJacques.com.
And listeners, we've been talking to Duranda Jacques, and she is the author of 5 Steps to Draw Closer to God. And as you've heard so far, she knows what she's talking about. So I do encourage you to check out her book. It's a simple book. It's only 80 pages. But it is so packed with guidance for you. You know, if you're struggling and just looking for a God, I encourage you to check out this book because I think that this is something that will just give you that edge and give you the direction of where you want to go. And as Duranda had said earlier, you know, 5 simple steps. It's not like 100 steps. It's 5 easy, simple steps, and she'll guide you through it. And I know that you'll find your own place and your own God within. Gosh, Duranda, thanks.
Thank you for having me.
This has been such an enjoyable interview, and we could just go on and on. But
I feel that way. Like, let's continue talking.
Listeners, this is Irene Watson with Inside Scoop Live. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.